The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. See, now I'm being, first of all, good morning. First, I'm being cast as the rivalry hater, the anti-rival. I'm campaigning against Ohio State being in the playoff because I don't think they deserve it after a year, or I mean, not a year, but a season of saying the Pac-12 is unworthy. The Pac-12 is unworthy. Now, let me set up the premise correctly, Ira. My premise was if there's a one-loss Big Ten team, it's Michigan-Ohio State, and it's a close game between those two, that the loser of a close game between those two is better than a one-loss team from the Pac-12. If they're a conference champ, and a one-loss team from the Big 12, if they're a conference champ.
But Sam, you were actually more specific than that. We actually said here on the air, we said in particular the home team, and this year happens to be Ohio State, but we said in particular the home team in that matchup cannot get blown out. We said that exact thing. The home team, it wasn't about Ohio State as much as if the game was here, we would have said the same thing. The home team cannot get blown out.
I don't want to be you know, say, accused of being revisionist here.
No, we said that.
Very consistent.
Yeah, we've said it.
We've definitely said it. Ohio State got blown out on their home field, embarrassed on their home field, emasculated on the football field. That is not an overstatement, right? If the football version of their manhood was stripped from them for everyone to see. That kind of embarrassment cannot be rewarded. It must be punished, especially when you consider that SC, they had a close loss on the road at Utah. Now, you could say if they lose to Utah again, that, well, that definitely proves that they're unworthy of making the show.
But, Sam, you also
– I would say the nature of that loss matters.
Yeah, and you also –
close loss.
There's another part of the context here, Sam, that you made very clear from the beginning of this conversation. You were mainly talking about that one lost team being Georgia because – or being Oregon. Because if Oregon was the best team in the Pac-12 –
no question.
They got smoked by Georgia. But now, as we've seen, Oregon's actually fallen down the pecking order a little bit, so they're not the best team in the Pac-12, which gives more credibility to the Pac-12 as a one-loss team, their champ going. The premise of this conversation from the beginning was if Oregon wins the Pac-12 as a one-loss team, that's really the starting point of this conversation. But they're a three-loss team now. They're not at the top of the conversation. So them getting blown up by Georgia does not have the same part of the conversation as it did if they had won the Pac-12.
See, this is why you're my guy. This is why I love you. This is why you're my brother, Ira Weintraub. Happy birthday to Papa Weintraub, by the way. Happy birthday to Papa Weintraub.
75 years old today. 75 years young.
You know, I'm chasing Papa Weintraub. I'm chasing that feeling that you were a part of giving me almost 10 years ago. Oh, no, it'll be in a few months. It will be. 10 years
it's
ago,
like
right?
9 3/4 years ago, give or take.
Yeah, that was the most amazing weekend that I've had as a lover of Michigan. You know, it's a job, and it's hard. I just went off on a tangent. It's hard to have the full fan experience because we have to work, right? But that was a week where the work was like it didn't even feel like work. And we were grinding. I mean, we churned out more content that Final Four weekend than I think we had at any point in the season. We were grinding, and it didn't feel like work, right? And all the things that we did that week, it was amazing. So I'm hoping to repeat that as we get into the playoffs.
But yeah, well, Sam, if you remember, Sam, there was a steak dinner involved in that one. I got steak dinner set up for tomorrow night, so my wife and I are going with my parents. We get that part set up. It's going to be a lot of fun Saturday. But, Sam, this is going to be a three-city tour of fun. Yeah. And it's going to happen. We are going to speak this into existence, a three-city tour of fun.
We are. And, you know, we have a station event in Indianapolis. We're going to be at the Slippery Noodle from 4 until 7, brought to you in part by our friends at Grand Traverse Resort and Spa. Been a fantastic supporter and sponsor of the show. Eric and Caroline up there. I think Caroline's going to be down at the game. She texted me after the we have brought along for the ride the entire you thought it was just Eric that was the big Michigan fan. Now the entire GTR family is on the Maize and Blue train. So gonna be excited to see them down there. Gonna be excited to see all of you over at the Slippery Noodle, 4 until 7, the KeyBank countdown to kickoff. Be there. We have a lot of folks saying that they're gonna show up. Last year we had Will Johnson drop by. I think we're gonna have some other folks drop by the KeyBank countdown to kickoff this year. So we're gonna have a ton of fun. I digress, right? I just went off on a major tangent to get back to the playoff topic. You know, SC, they're going to be penalized. If they lose this game, if it's a tight game, they're going to be penalized for being the best team in the Pac-12, right? Which does not seem fair. Now, if they go out and they get smoked, different conversation. You get blown out, that downgrades you. That diminishes your profile. The one exception to that, and I don't see it happening. I just don't see a scenario where TCU gets blown out. I could see them losing. But even if they lose, Ira, that's a team that TCU beat by 10 points in the regular season. If they were to lose this one in a close affair, to penalize them for that would be a joke. TCU should be locked in. So this is a question, a matter of SC's viability. And you compare them to Ohio State. If this is a close affair, win definitely they're in, but losing a close game, I would say they still have a better case than Ohio State, in my opinion. They have more quality victories than Ohio State. Now, Ohio State would have the single best victory on their ledger, Penn State. But after that, who? Notre Dame? SC beat them too. All right? So It should be SC. And so why do I bring this back up? Because Ira said this morning, you know, Michigan State can still make a bowl game. What?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah. What? Okay. So let me lay this out for you, Sam. I got to read it from the notes to make sure I get it right, because there's a lot to this, but there have to be 82 bowl eligible teams. Let that part just sink in for the first part. Like, just let that sink in. 82. Sam, there are 100 and what Division I teams, right? It's way over half. You're talking about like almost 3/4 or 2/3 or whatever it is that the Division I football programs need to have 6 wins to fill all the slots. 82 bowl eligible spots. If you don't get to there, and we're not there yet, then they fill it in with 5 and 7 teams. There are 79 bowl 6 win teams right now. Buffalo plays somebody in a makeup game on Saturday. And so if Buffalo wins, that'll get to 80. But right now we're at 79.
Come on, Mo.
Okay, so the five, it's not just, oh, pick your favorite 5-win team and they come to your bowl game. It's, you get ranked. The 5-win teams get ranked based on their academic progress rate, their APR. So the first team that's 5 wins that gets an invite, I guess they can say no, but the first team that gets an invite is Rice. The second team that gets an invite is UNLV. If we stay at 79 bowl eligible teams, you go to the third spot. Sam, Auburn and Michigan State are tied for third. But Auburn actually gets the tiebreaker because they have a better APR score from a year ago, meaning Auburn is third in the pecking order, followed by Michigan State. So if we sit at 79 and Rice, UNLV, and Auburn take their bowl spots that they're invited to, then Michigan State is out. But if any of those three, or if for some other reason there's a reason to invite one more bowl team, Michigan State is next in line to go to a bowl game. They get the pity bowl invite if that's if that happens. And as much as we would make fun of it, because they'd be in some ridiculous bowl game, as much as we'd make fun of it, the fact is we don't want them to go to a bowl game because we don't want them to get the 15 extra practices. The practical side of it. It's still funny to laugh at them for not going at all than going to like the, you know.
Yeah. Look, absolutely right.
Whatever bowl.
You want them to be in the worst shape possible for next year. There's no shame in that. You know, there's nothing wrong with wishing that upon Michigan State, especially given the posture they've taken after they had players assault Michigan players in the tunnel. You know, as if an environment, you know, as if the environment contributed to the assault, not the softness of the program, which is what this is all about. You know, now you have to create an environment that caters to the sensibilities of the soft, of the weak-minded, of those with no heart, of those with heart that pumps Kool-Aid. That's exactly what that means, which is ridiculous. It surprises me that a coach whose mantle of toughness is held up as a core value is holding up the most weakened, lily-livered standard that you could ever believe, that you would condone tacitly. No, not the behavior of the players, but the notion that it was provoked is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But anyway, that is one of the reasons why it's not bad. It's not poor sport. It's not, sort of bad sports etiquette to wish that upon them as if that has any bearing on it. But you should be giving out participation trophies in college football. That's essentially what this is. I can't even be a huge money grab for the institution, right? Although, it will be another bowl check for Mel, right? Mo gets another bowl check?
I don't know if the bonus is – last year's bonus, I'm pretty sure, is because it's a New Year's Six game. I don't know if it's just a bowl bonus. I can't imagine he'd get the same bonus for the, you know, Mobile Bowl that he would get for the Peach Bowl.
They signed him to a $9 million contract. I mean, $9.5 million.
That's true. So, and even if it's prorated down because it's a lesser bowl, I assume that means there'd still be – say he only got a $150,000 bonus for going to the bowl game, and it was an $80,000 bonus to be split amongst the coaches. That's still $80,000 plus the $150,000 he'd put in his pocket. So
right. So another check for Mel.
There's no sharing. Now, Technically, it's two. They're separate. One is for him, and one is for everybody else. He just happens to keep that one.
You got to love it. No, come on, man. No participation trophies. At least it shouldn't be. In this mix, and I gotta imagine,
Sam, we should have 20 or 30 bowl games. You could just go, let's get rid of them.
And especially if Michigan State fans weren't even going to Spartan Stadium, you know they aren't going to show up to whatever bowl game this is.
They
right?
wouldn't be in the. They wouldn't be down in Detroit. But even if they were, they probably wouldn't show up there. That's a longer drive than East Lansing.
If you're a draft eligible Spartan, why would you participate?
Well, that's the other part of it. I'm assuming, and I was. That's the kind of the case for any of these teams. Your season's over. Maybe you've been told, hey, guys, we have a shot to be in a bowl game but these guys check out. This is the same reason why, and I talked about this in the last hour, that's one of the reasons why Penn State's going to get the Rose Bowl invite over Ohio State. One, Ohio State's been there last year. They didn't sell out their Rose Bowl allotment last year. Penn State hasn't been there in 5 or 6 years. But also, if you know Ohio State's quarterback's going to sit out, unless someone gives him a whole bunch of money not sit out, but he's going to sit out. And Penn State fans want their quarterback to sit out because they want to see the freshmen, so they don't care. They'll go to watch that game, right?
Right. This is a great point. That is a reason for them to grab Ohio State. And speaking of the Rose Bowl, the last barrier to playoff expansion just fell. As the Rose Bowl said, they will play ball. They will proceed in good faith with the playoff. They were holding out to make sure that they had a New Year's Day game at 5 o'clock on January 1st.
Yeah,
was like, no.
So my guess is because they want the playoffs on New Year's Eve and they're going to keep the playoffs on New Year's Eve. My assumption is they'll put the Rose Bowl game in the same time slot, but instead of on New Year's Day, they'll just put it on New Year's Eve, right? So you can still get the sunsets. it's the one day is not going to change the sunset, right? It's still going to be really beautiful. So you're still going to get that, which is why they want to be in that window. They just have to move by a day. And they realize that by moving a day, it's worth millions and millions and millions and millions. Because guess what the committee would have said? We're going to create the LA Bowl at SoFi Stadium on New Year's Eve. And guess what's going to sell all the tickets?
Right? Yeah, I do want to have the Rose Bowl experience where they actually win. I've been to three Rose Bowls and never seen a victory, Ira.
I wasn't there
in 98.
It was glorious, Sam. It was glorious.
Yeah, I was not there. So, but I was there the next three Rose Bowls and was not happy with the outcomes of those Rose Bowls.
I was at one of those too.
Yeah, man. So I look forward to having that game be a playoff stop. And hopefully Michigan can be on one of those teams. But this point, look, man, I don't even Arizona.
Think about this.
I don't care.
So most likely Arizona, right? If Georgia wins, right, it's gonna be. But Sam, this is the thing about the Rose Bowl as a playoff venue and thinking about these playoff venues. I kind of wish that there was an Indianapolis Bowl, no name on it, right? Because if USC is use the top four right now, right? Michigan would be at like the Orange Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl as the two seed. And you would have Georgia probably at the Peach Bowl, right, as the one seed. And you'd have USC at the Rose Bowl as the four seed. There's no game around here. They still all get these home games in the bowl games, right? Right? TCU would be the one seed in like the Cotton Bowl or in like they'd be relatively speaking, there'd be proximity. I'm not saying you need to have the Quick Lane Bowl as a playoff game. But, like, it would be nice to have something a geographically centralized Midwest game. Now that you're going to have these four host bowls as your playoff games, and maybe that's something they can come up with, because it would be nice that you kind of like geographically like the NCAA tournament, right? You have a West region, you have an East region, you have a South region, and a Midwest region. Maybe you kind of need that for the playoff games in football, because it allows for the highest-seeded team in that region, if you will, in this case, Michigan, to have a relatively easy trip and sort of a home game. It's not a home game, but kind of, right? Like, maybe they could come up with something like that. They won't, because there's no bowl games in the Midwest, but and no one wants a vacation in January or December in Indianapolis. But they should do something like that to help. Otherwise, we're still all going to be playing these unless you're a 5, 6, 7, or 8, then you get a home game. But wouldn't you rather be a 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Yes. Yes, I would. So it'll be interesting. I can't wait to be having that debate. But first things first, the here and now, the playoff setting for Michigan. You know, Michigan's locked in. Georgia's locked in. It's a matter of those final two. TCU has the toughest game.
They should be. I agree with you. Hassan, have you looked at strength of schedule metrics on ESPN?
I have. TCU's the toughest.
Yeah, so why are they not locked in?
I get no respect. I mean, I kind of get it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. If TCU dropped the C and the U was actually in front of it, and they were UT, they might be number one right now.
You know, no question. No question.
Right? But they're TCU. Duggan might be the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy right now, but they're TCU and not Texas.
And this is coming from some.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot. Is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie. Is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Someone who has, I'm not high on the Big 12, but given that they've run through the entire league, right, and won every which way, and the team that they are playing in the championship game they've already beaten, I think they should be locked in. I just think it's a matter of the lack of respect for TCU and the lack of respect for the Big 12 relative to the Big Ten, and certainly the SEC. I mean, the SEC can do no wrong.
It's their network. It's ESPN are the ones that are showing us this metric of the strength of schedule they're putting out. Their network, their playoff. They can give this one piece of information to the committee, right? It gets me back to, and I don't want to spend too much of my own brain power between now and Saturday night or Sunday thinking about this. And hopefully we'll know by tomorrow night, right? Because tomorrow night, the Pac-12 championship game, if USC wins, I think most of this conversation is moot. But these four teams should all be locked in. Barring, I guess, maybe a blowout. But the next team in the rankings got blown out. Like, at home, as opposed to a neutral site, this should be done. And maybe it is. And maybe we're spending too much oxygen on it. And maybe it actually is done. And the committee just would never tell us that. But maybe it is done. Because I said this yesterday. If I'm USC, I'm not going on an airplane. If you're telling me I could lose this game and not make the playoff, I'm not getting on the airplane. I'm saying Vegas, you're fun, but no. Or remember the old cliche old adage, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Uh-huh. If we lose, it stays in Vegas.
Well, at any rate, hopefully SC wins and this is not a problem, right? SC and TCU, these are the best four teams.
Lock it in.
In my opinion, hopefully that. That is locked in this weekend. Hopefully Michigan State is sitting at home for the bowl season. And hopefully this from a Michigan perspective. So I never wish for a guy to not have great opportunities before him. So this gets to, and we'll get into this more on the other side. Been getting a lot of questions about Jesse Minter. Jesse Minter should be – to me, Jesse Minter is a lock. Talk about locks. He's a lock for the Broyles Award. There's just no debate. The unbelievable job the Michigan defense has done this season and the shutdown of the vaunted offer, everything that people said about Ohio State's offense, rightfully so, they were shut down, stoned in the second half of that game. That should have won the Broyles Award right there.
There's no such thing, Sam, as a lock, first of all. And you know that as well as I do. Second of all, and I'm not saying this will have any impact whatsoever, but you know as well as I do, there are a lot of groups that vote on things that have a very difficult time awarding the same award to the same school or the same organization 2 years in a row. And that might be something that kind of can hold them back. And if you look at the list, I'm sure that Illinois people are screaming about their defensive coordinator and what a great job he's done with less talent and less star power than Michigan's defensive coordinator. And Tennessee's, they're talking about their OC. And you can go down the list. I think the least deserving of the five finalists actually is Georgia's OC, and he's done a great job.
Yeah.
It's a great list. I think you're right that Minter should win it, but I just want you to remind everybody, or maybe I need to remind everybody for you, there's no such thing as a lock. He should win it, but there's no such thing as a lock. And if one of the other guys wins it, there are reasons why. And I think one of the reasons could be simply that Michigan won the award last year.
I hear you. Well, hopefully Jesse gets it. He deserves it. He's the most deserving on the list, and there's some other good coaches on there. I've talked a lot about Ryan Walters being very impressed.
And Sam, think about how good the assistant coaching has been here the last couple of years, because we talked about last year that maybe it was the DC that should have won it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but his name is being tossed around in Cincinnati circles. We got to get to a break.
Brian That's Hartline interviewing there.
Yeah,
come on, Hartline, get the job.
There's a reason to pay attention to that coaching search. Give you a little update, get a little recruiting in on the other side as well. Stay tuned here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the Ticket.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.